strength was all gone, when my heart had no song. Still enough, He proved faithful to me. Every word He promised is true. What I thought
this morning, Genesis chapter 4. Thank you for that applause there. Was that for me or for the song? I'll take it. Genesis chapter 4 this morning. It's good to be here. And I'm not sure, you know, the father-in-laws, it's not so much about the son-in-laws, it's about the grandkids. So if he can get the grandkids up here, then I'll tag along. But it's good to be here this morning for sure. It's been a pleasure just to enjoy the good music. You know, you kind of take it for granted, especially traveling around. It's not every church that's blessed with good piano players and pianos and organs and a choir, and to sit back and listen to that. And then I noticed the band was just exceptionally good this morning, and I was just looking through there, and I saw my mother-in-law in the band. I said, wow, that's the difference right there. My mother-in-law is in the band. And That's got to be good for something, you know. Come on. Genesis chapter 4, it is a joy to be here amongst friends and family. Now, I'll start reading in verse number 1. We'll get right into the message this morning. And I'm looking forward to a good day in the house of God. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time," notice that phrase there, we'll come back to it, "and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering. But unto Cain unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. If you look back to verse number 7, it'll be our text verse. That first statement there, the first line, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And I'd like to, for a few moments, preach a message entitled, Learning to Do Well. Let's pray. Father, it is a privilege to be in your house. What an opportunity to gather together and to hold this precious book in our hands. I pray now, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would bind Satan, bind the strong man, and have free reign in this place today to do the work that only you can do. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. Accepted. Kindly received. Regarded or respected. I believe in every person, whether it's a small desire or a great desire, we all have a desire to be accepted. We want to be kindly received. Nobody likes the cold shoulder. Nobody likes to be disregarded. An adult or an authority that walks into a room deserves that respect from those around him and the younger generation for sure. But everybody likes to be accepted. Sadly, it's not always to be accepted by God. It's just to be accepted by those around us, by friends, family, by even gangs and organizations and cults in this world. And for sure, not the least of all, to be accepted on social media. I mean, you want to take the photo at the right angle with the right shade on it, and you want people to like it. Why? Because you want to feel accepted. But that desire to be accepted by the flesh and the world has destroyed marriages, broken up families, caused churches to split. Listen, the desire to be accepted caused the single mom who was raising the children the best she could and then met a boyfriend who didn't like her kids, but because she wanted to be accepted by that boyfriend, she strapped her two young kids in the back seat of her car and pushed it into a lake because she wanted his acceptance. The desire to be accepted has caused young boys and girls across this nation to get their bodies mutilated with tattoos and piercings, hoping that someone will then say, Well, that's good, or I accept you. And it causes young people, young girls especially, to get online and to meet some pervert on social media and sneak out of the house and only to be found later raped and killed, looking for that acceptance. It caused a young boy not too long ago, the 14-year-old boy in Baltimore, Maryland, who plot and planned the rape and murder of a 16-year-old girl for his gang initiation because he wanted to be accepted. This desire here, it leads us in this passage that we read this morning. It led Cain to kill his younger brother Abel there, we see in verse number 8, because he was not accepted. And listen, this morning, just by way of introduction, when we desire to be accepted by the world, and the moment we start looking for acceptance from the world, we're headed down a path of destruction. And when we head down that path where we disregard the acceptance from God and seek the acceptance of the world, hey, there's no boundaries down that path. The world doesn't care. There's no limits. They'll chew you up and spit you out and say, I'm moving on to the next one. When you seek the world's acceptance. Notice there, in verse number 3, that statement we looked at, in the process of time. In the process of time. Now that's a phase or a process that each and every one of us will go through. The process of time. It's a gift from God. For sure, I don't know who said it. It was probably, I'm not even going to guess, but youth is wasted on the young. Youth is, and you know what? The older you get, you realize, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or I wish I wouldn't have, you look back on your life and the process of time as you grow, and you think, you know what? Man, I would have done some things different. I would have changed some things. But in the process of time, as we see in our passage, we will have the opportunity to bring many offerings to God. Many decisions will be made in that process of time. And this morning, I'd like to just look at three simple areas, and for sure, by no means, we'll get too far into this, but there are three areas that each of us need to do well in. Each of us need to constantly be learning to do well in. And first of all, I see in this passage and this area that all of us, every person in this room today, really every person in the world, there's one area we all need to do well in, and that's salvation by grace through faith. Every one of us needs to do well in the area of salvation by grace. You see, there's only one way for salvation. There's only one way that God will accept for salvation. And as we go through this life and having the privilege to hold the Word of God in our hands and to know the truth, you realize more and more that people out there, they're looking for that acceptance from God in all the wrong places. They want to go to heaven. And they're trying to go to heaven. But God's only going to take one offering. One payment for that salvation. And we know for sure that that's Jesus Christ. He's the payment. He's the offering that God will accept. And listen, we must make a conscious decision. I hope and pray that every one of us in here have made a conscious decision to call on the name of Jesus Christ for our salvation. Because that's all that will be accepted. The Bible tells us there in Acts 4:12, hey, there's none other name under heaven given among man whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. There's only one. Hey, it's not your works. It's not your church attendance. It's not your Bible reading. It's not your prayer. They're all good things. They don't save you. Doesn't matter how much money you put in the offering plate. It doesn't matter how often you frequent the house of God. That's not going to save you. It doesn't matter how religious you may be in this thing of a Christian walk with God. That's not going to save you. You must have a personal relationship. You must have called on Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Hey, it's the name of Jesus. Do you love that name this morning? The name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. I flipped through the hymn book this morning and just highlighted a few of the songs I think we sing quite frequently and maybe sometimes take them for granted. It's hymn number 41. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Well, if you're saved in this room this morning, Jesus is the sweetest name you know. To know that we have a home in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for us. There have been names that I love to hear, but never has there been a name so dear to this heart of mine as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. And that's the reason why I love Him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Hey, there's one area that we all must do well in this area of salvation. And that comes only by Jesus Christ. It's 293, I think, here in the book. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Hey, Jesus died. Jesus died. Jesus died our soul to save. Hey, there's only one acceptable. Well, you say that's narrow mind. That's fine. It's the Word of God. Jesus died to pay our sin debt. And that is all that He will accept. There in 144, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. All because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Listen, in learning to do well in this life, we all must understand that the only acceptable offering for our sin debt is the price that Jesus Christ paid on the cross and His shed blood for our sin. Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Hey, three areas we all need to do well in this morning. The area of salvation by grace through faith. But not only that, as the verse that we just read a moment ago, it's Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Not only do we need to do well in the area of salvation by grace through faith, but we need to do well in this area of service to God. Service to God. You can see in this passage here that they were serving God in the form of the offerings that they brought to God. And Cain did what he wanted. Abel did what God wanted. Now, we know that we're saved, that we're born again. Well, why is it that we accept that truth of God's Word, and when it comes to service, we want to do what we want to do? Well, I serve God, sure, I know I should, but I'm going to do it my way. Listen, in this area of service to God, we must do it His way because that's acceptable. It says there in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Acceptable. Kindly received, regarded, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. In the last part of that verse, it says, an acceptable and perfect will of God. In this area of service, we must do what is acceptable and do it God's way. Not our own way. I'm talking about our entire lives. All to Him I owe. Not just showing up to church on Sunday morning, but showing up Sunday night. Not just Sunday night, but Wednesday night. And not just Wednesday, but Thursday and Friday and Saturday. All to Him we owe. In this area of service, we must do it God's way. Now, notice there again that statement in verse number 3, the process of time. The process of time. See, you get saved. That's a wonderful decision to make. And then that service starts. Now, you don't know everything as soon as you're born again. You don't know everything you're supposed to do. You don't know all the commandments that you're supposed to follow. But in the process of time, what happens? You grow. You grow. And the Bible tells us there in 1 Peter 2, but listen, just like a newborn babe, from the day it's born, it begins to grow. And it changes and it progresses. Progresses. Now, listen, what do you do when a baby's not growing like it's supposed to grow? Well, you start to get concerned about it, right? Because there should be a progression. You should see not only physical changes, but mental changes. Mind develops and things start to happen. But when you don't, you're going to pick up the phone and call the doctor. And say, hey, something's wrong. My child should be growing. It's the same thing spiritually. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow. Hey, with the sincere milk of the Word. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? And what He's done for us? But when you get a taste of that, you just want more of it. And you want more of it. And when it's good food, you get seconds. Unless you're on a diet. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Hey, why is it that we thank God for our salvation and we're so grateful to be born again and to have a home in heaven, but we want to serve Him our way instead of bringing sacrifices to Him that are acceptable? Acceptable. There in Hebrews 5 verse 12 it says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." Well, that's a lot just in that one phrase. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." What does that mean? Well, hey, you've obviously went through grade school, right? You accomplished high school, maybe even college. It's time for you to start teaching now. It's not time for you to sit back and just be a pupil or just be a student in class anymore. It's time for you to step up and start teaching. Now, we put, what do you want to put on that? 10, 12 years of school, another 3 or 4 years of college? You can say that's a teacher in this day and age. Maybe you can go further, a PhD or whatnot. But hey, things should start to change as we grow spiritually. Things should start to change. And for the time ye ought to be teachers. Hey, we need to grow up. Listen, my son, Marcus, he's almost 2 now. We're in that stage. We're trying to get him out of diapers. I don't want to be changing his diapers when he's 5 years old. Spiritually then, why do we have, it seems like so many Christians, they're just not growing. They're still in diapers and they've been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And they're not growing in this area of service to God. Hey, there's something about diapers. They stink. They stink. I don't look forward to changing them. Listen, why is it that so many of us, that's the pastor's responsibility or that's the staff's responsibility. Well, is this right or is this... You know why you ask that question? Is because you don't have a walk with God. You're not growing. Because it's not the pastor's responsibility to discern right and wrong. You should know. You should be growing. You should have a walk with God. God tells us in His book what is right and wrong and what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. And as we grow, we will you know what? Hey, I need to change that. I need to change. Boy, hey, listen. The house of God, honestly, would be a whole lot more fun. It's fun as it is, for sure. It'd be a whole lot more fun if everybody came here already in tune with God. Instead of the pastor and the preacher having to get everybody in tune with God so then we can progress. When if each and every one of us had a walk with God and each and every one of us said, you know what, I don't need that. I'm going to go and see what God says in His book and apply it to my life. I'm not going to look and say, well, so-and-so does this and so I think it's right. Or so-and-so goes here so that must be right. Now, listen, that's pathetic. That's a child. That's a child that just follows. It just goes along with the crowd and the world and the flesh. Hey, there's nothing wrong. What can bring us all together? I'm all for unity. I'm all for following, if it's the Word of God. But for us to be so foolish just to say, oh, well, so-and-so did that, so I can go there, or I can do this, or I can wear that, or I can listen to this because they did it? Hey, in the process of time, we have to grow. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful. Unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hey, we must not be using our senses if we're happy with milk. Because they're not being exercised. Listen, we need to grow. We need to grow. We need to have a way. Listen, when your senses are exercised, you need to eat something to satisfy. When you're exercised, when you work out, I don't know much about that at all. But you know you need to eat certain type of foods after you work out. If you want your muscles, if you want to grow, if you want to be strong. Hey, we need to get in this book and get our senses exercised to what? Discern both good and evil. Each of us, individually, discerning good and evil. We need to grow. We need to grow. And over there in Isaiah 1 verse 17, it tells us, hey, learn to do well. Learn to do well. Josiah, and I tell the kids there at camp quite often, Josiah was 8 years old and he did that which was right in the sight of God. How is that possible? Just an 8-year-old child doing that which is right in the sight of God. He had a relationship. It was more than just a profession or just following mommy and daddy or following the pastor. They're all good things, but we need to have a relationship with God. Because they're not always going to be around. Your pastor doesn't follow you around Monday through Friday. My parents don't follow me around Monday through Friday. And sometimes when we fall and we trip and we make mistakes because our senses are not exercised to discern good and evil. When nobody's around, we can't make the right decision because our senses are not exercised. Because we're not growing. Hey, oh why? Like he did there, Cain was very wroth. Why do we get upset at God? He's the one that broke the law. He's the one that broke the commandment. God told him what to do. And he gets upset. Well, we get upset at God. We get upset at the pastor for preaching the word. Well, you know, that's just his opinion, and that's just, it's the Word of God. That just shows that you're satisfied with milk. That's all. You just want the milk. You thank God you're saved and you're going to heaven, but you don't want to grow from there. Learning to do well in this area of service. Hey, too many of us go around with this childlike attitude and we don't care what we don't need to understand or we don't need to know about it. We'll just trust in someone else. No, each and every one of us needs to know individually what pleases God and what is acceptable to God. Three areas we need to do well in the area of salvation, in the area of service. Thirdly, in this area of submission. Submission to God. If you'll notice there in verse number 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Now that's God talking there. Unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. That's pretty hard. There's not much room to move around in there. He didn't receive it. He didn't accept it. He didn't tolerate it. There was no respect for what Cain had done. And listen, this morning, at this point of submission to God, we must understand that we're the ones that need to yield. We're the ones that need to yield to the authority that God has placed in our life, the Word of God. We need to yield to the true high power. It's not Him that needs to change. God's not going to change His Word for us. He's not going to change it. You can go ahead, bring that offering. Bring the fruit of the ground. You see, he didn't trip them up before he got there. He let them bring the offering. But he didn't accept it. God's not going to change his word for us. And you can go ahead and live a worldly lifestyle and listen to the music they have and watch the movies and dress like the world, act like the world. Go ahead. God's not going to change his word. God's not going to accept it. God's not going to tolerate it. He had no respect for that offering. Submission to God. But notice what he says there in verses 6 and 7. He says, verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now, there could have been correction before those questions were even asked. That hammer could have been dropped right there. because he brought the wrong offering. God said, hey, that's wrong. But notice he asked him some questions, giving Cain an opportunity to, again, submit. Why? Why art thou wrong? Did God do something wrong? Why are you upset? Why is your countenance fallen? He gives him an opportunity to again submit and do the right thing. Because God's not going to change. And we know throughout the process of time, throughout this life, God's going to point things out in our life. Hey, Brother Pete, you need to change that. I'm not going to accept that. And at that moment, I have a decision to make. I can either say, you know what? Well, it says it in His Word. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to get my attitude right. And listen, notice that the attitude that he had, he was wroth, he was angry, led to the murder. He was rejected, led to the murder of his younger brother. Again, going back to our introduction, when you start to get that stiff neck towards God, you have no idea where that road's going to lead you. So you finally make the statement, my punishment is greater than I can bear. All because he didn't want to submit. Because he was wroth, he was upset. And hey, listen, it doesn't always have to make sense to us. And sometimes it doesn't. And we don't always have to like it, but we have to submit to it. We have to submit to it. Yielding to the sovereign power of Jesus Christ. Our Lord. We want a Savior. We want Jesus. Do we want a Lord? A master. Someone that rules over us. That takes submission. That takes submission. Yielding our will, our spirit to God. And saying, you know what, Lord? I'll do it. Hey, can I tell you this morning, in this area of submission, it sounds so simple, but just get right when God convicts. Get right when God convicts. Hey, when He points things out in the process of time, and well, I sure hope He does as we have a walk with God and as we read. It doesn't have to be in church or at this altar when we're flipping through the pages of God's Word and say, you know what? Wow, I never read that verse before, and it tells me the way I ought to dress, and yeah, I haven't been doing that. Hey, you can do that at home. Okay, a couple of you can do it at home. Hey, well, you can do that at home. Just get right when God convicts. Just choose that when you read the Word of God and it points something out in your life in whatever area. Come on, are we perfect? Do we know it all? Yeah. Well, why are we so prideful? It's just our pride. We're so prideful and we'll read it and say, you know, well, so many people have done it or do it and I'll get away with it. Instead of just submitting. Instead of just getting right with God. Hey, get right when God convicts. Don't let it pass. You don't know if you'll have... God may not come to you a second time and say, hey, well, what's going on in your life? Why are you wrong? Why is your countenance fallen? He may not always do that. Before that stiff neck and that hard heart sets in. Hey, get right when God convicts. And boy, in Jeremiah, it talks all about how they obeyed not and they... And neither would they wouldn't listen anymore, and their neck got stick in their ear. They wouldn't hear, and they wouldn't receive instruction. It's a bad day when we get tired of hearing instruction from the Word of God. And this is our instruction manual. Why wouldn't you want to submit to it? Is it not the Word of God? Why wouldn't you want to say, well, this is what God says, and that's what I need to do? However hard it may be. Why are we so selfish just to take the promise of salvation and a home in heaven and forget the rest? That's our pride. We don't want to submit. We don't want to say, you know what? I'm wrong. I need to fix that. Hey, three areas we need to do well in. In the area of salvation, in the area of service, in the area of submission towards God. Acknowledging our inferiority. That's what it's all about. Dependence on God. depending, see, we don't need him because we got a credit card and we got a car and we got a house and everything's good. The checks are directly deposited in the bank and no. No more dependence on God. No more submission to God. I'm going to do what I want to do and I don't care if you accept it or not. That's what Cain said. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. What a wonderful promise it is to us. What a wonderful promise to know that if we do well, God's not going to change His word. We will be accepted. We will be, the satisfaction that we'll get from being accepted by God is far greater than the satisfaction of being accepted by the world. And it'll last a whole lot longer. You know, you keep having to go down that road seeking for the world's satisfaction and it leads to this and that and the next and next. And next thing you know, you're out of church and you're drinking and you're smoking and you're fornicating and you're committing adultery and on. Because you don't want to submit to God. Submission. Three areas to do well in. Salvation, service, submission to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity this morning to hold Your Word in our hands, to just draw from this simple story, Lord, really, and the challenge that it brings to each and every one of us that we need to learn to do well. First and most importantly in that area of salvation, there's only one payment for sin that You'll accept. That's Jesus Christ. With heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, no one looking around, I wonder if there may have been someone this morning under the sound of my voice that heard the Word of God. And you're not 100% sure of your salvation. There hasn't been a specific point in time in your life where you've called on Jesus Christ and placed all your faith and trust in Him. I wonder, throughout the auditorium this morning, if there would be one that would just be honest with himself, be honest with God, and say, Brother Pete, I'm going to lift my hand. I'd like you to pray for me. I'm not 100% sure of my salvation. Would you pray for me this morning? An area of salvation. Boy, we don't want you to leave this place this morning without getting that settled, without knowing for sure that you have a home in heaven. If you're not 100% sure of your salvation, would you just slip up your hand and say, Brother Pete, would you pray for me this morning? I wonder then, this morning in the areas of service to God, have we been growing? Are we the teachers we should be now? Maybe there's an area that, you know what, God's been speaking to you about, and there sure are areas to serve around here, I know that. Maybe it is a Sunday school teacher or soul winning, an area you've just been a little lax in. You need to step up in the area of service to God. Maybe it's submission. Some things that you know you should do, but you haven't quite done them. Whatever it may be this morning, let's stand to our feet as the instruments play. The invitation, it's simple this morning. Just get right when God convicts. The area of salvation, the service. We all need to grow. We all need our senses exercised to discern both good and evil.